Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Writing Warrior Radio. I am just coming back to Blog Talk, so you gotta forgive me as my intros get a little iffy. Everybody, I hope you can hear me. I'm going to open up the chat, and you know, in case you want to talk or ask if you have specific questions for Keith. I'm not going to take callers, but I will answer your questions on the chat, so feel free to log in. Keith is on the line, but before I bring him in, I just want to read his dynamic bio and get y'all all familiar with Keith. Keith Kareem Williams is the author of 11 books and currently working on his 12th. He still resides in his hometown of Brooklyn, New York, where he delicately balances his time between his responsibilities as a single father, as well as the challenges of being a full-time author. In interviews, one of the most difficult questions I've been asked is, what genre are your novels? Because honestly, I never written with any particular style in mind. So this should be good. This should be good because I want to get all into his process. But I digress. Let me read. I enjoy blending styles and mashing different genres together in interesting ways. Basically, I pen whatever is in my heart and soul. However, if I had to describe my style, I would use musical terms and say that I write urban hip-hop fiction with the rhythm of reggae that crashed into heavy metal and then began to bleed neo-soul. He's such a writer. He's such an artist. I'm not going to read the whole bio. I want y'all to learn about him through the conversation, so I'm about to bring him on. Hello?
Hi, good morning. Well, good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Yes, it is afternoon. It's still morning for us night owl stuff.
Yeah, it is. How are you?
I'm so excited to have you on the show. Excited and nervous. Like, I have done this a million times, but I get scared every single time that I do
Me
it.
Me too.
Well, good. It's good to know that I'm not alone.
No,
you're
I always get nervous, too.
You're such a poetic writer. Like, even your bio is full of poetry. Like, it bleeds me also. Like, who writes that? Nobody but an author.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it because it took me a while to really come up with something that I felt, you know, was a good bio. Because, people will say, what kind of books do you write? And I always used to start stuttering because it was hard for me to answer. So I said, you know what? I'm going to write my bio like I would write a passage in one of my books and just leave it at that. And then that's how I came up with that.
Well, that's great. And it shows. It really, really shows. I want to get your history before we dive into your books and your writing process. So my first question is the question I ask all writers on my blogs everywhere is, how long have you been writing?
Wow. Long time. Probably, I would say my mom taught me how to read. I was reading when I was about three or four. And then I probably started writing since I was a little kid because I was a bit, well, I'm not going to say was because I still am. I'm a big comic book junkie. So it pretty much started with me making up my own comic books and writing my own little stories. And so I've been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, a lot of it, like some of it I still have. And I look back at it and, I laugh and I shake my head and it was cute. But it's been probably all my life, to be honest with you.
All your life. So you were born to do this. Because there's a difference. Especially with the onslaught of digital publishing. There's people who come in here as career choices now. As opposed to this is their craft, this is what they were born to do.
Right. Yeah, because for some people, I'm not knocking it. It's a lane to get money. You know, I respect that too. But then there are some people that writing was just always something that, for me, it kept me out of trouble, kept me sane at certain times in my life where, I would keep to myself. And just sometimes I actually feel like I express myself better than I maybe do with people in conversation.
People.
Yeah. So I don't know why that is.
I'm a creature of the pen. Like I identify it as one of my, I'm an African American female writer. It's like all up in there of who I am.
Right.
And it's really interesting to discover that about other writers. I'm so nosy about other writers. And you gotta forgive me, I'm gonna cut you off. I'm gonna be rude.
I love your energy.
I'm just like, I'm so excited to be talking. I'm so excited about the craft again because I've gotten away from it. I've delved into the business aspect of writing, and it really put a strain on my writing. And now that I'm back into it and I'm back in the craft, I'm just so in love with other writers. And I want to know your process. My second question for you is, and I'm going to be all over the place. I had coffee this morning, and I'm now sipping on tea, so you just got to bear with me. My second question to you is, when did you make the decision to be a full-time author? Like, I always knew that I was a writer. Like, I knew it was my identity, but I knew that, I make my living sometimes when the writing slows down in other ways. And I didn't know until late in life that this is what I was going to be. So when did you know that, forget everything else, you are going to be an author full-time?
2000, I was, I put out my first book a few years before, and, I got positive response, from strangers, people were loving it. So that was kind of like me testing the waters to see if I had the chops to do it. And then in 2010, I was a manager for a vending company. And I just started to feel like all the jobs, because I've been working since I was about 17, right? Mm-hmm. I've worked all kind of jobs, from the low levels to management, whatever, what have you. And I just felt at the time, I know this is something that I wanted to do. I wasn't happy with the job. I never felt rewarded with the job, and I also felt stuck. And I said to myself, if I don't, at the age, I forget how old I was, but at that time, I said to myself, I started feeling like if I didn't do it then, I would never have the courage to do it. Because sometimes you get into a job that's, it's paying the bills, you get to save a couple dollars, but it's not fulfilling. It's not, you wouldn't leave behind any type of legacy or anything like that. So one morning I was on my way to work, and at the time I was handling, they had accounts in Morgan Stanley in Times Square, all the Morgan Stanley buildings. And I got off the train to go to work, and I saw, I saw these people going into different jobs, like the MTV building, so on and so forth. Like, these people look happy to be going to work. You know what I mean? I want that. I don't want that feeling like, oh, God, what's going to happen today? What am I going to have to fix today? What horrible phone calls am I going to get today? You know, what am I going to have to solve today? Who's going to mess up what today? And I saw, you know, people going into these offices in Times Square excited with their lunch, with their laptops, ready to go to work. And I said to myself, I want that feeling. And on my way to the building, I typed up an email in my BlackBerry, and I thought about it, and then I just hit send, and that was my 2 weeks' notice, and I never looked back.
That is awesome. That, like, you say it so nonchalant, like it was just a regular, it's a regular thing, and you know, like, yeah, I just, like, I just hit send, and that's, like, amazing.
You know what it is? Also, I've, and through the course of my life, I'm very honest and open about my life. Like, mm-hmm. I grew up seven of us in a one-bedroom. You know, my aunt, her two daughters, my grandmother, my mother, and my brother and I, right? So when it comes to not having, you know, I know what that's like. So I never, and I never worry. Like, I've been in situations where a landlord was selling a house, and, like, I have to leave, like, now. And I don't have anything saved, but I always find a way. So I kind of, that's just how I live. Like, I always find a way to get what I need to get done. So it's a scary thing, but I'm crazy. I just believe in myself like that. So I'll jump out a window and figure it out, you know.
I think that is a common thread with not just authors, but entrepreneurs, you know, because you've made the leap from, you know, I'm an author to I'm an entrepreneur because of the route you took, because you do this all yourself, if I'm correct, right? So entrepreneurs, we always, like, my favorite entrepreneur quote is that we jump off the building and try to build a plane on the way down.
And that's exactly what it's like.
Yes. Like, we're about to hit the concrete. We need to fly.
We need to fly before we hit the ground,
And it's like a common thread, but it's the most terrifying place to be. You know, in your life, and just to have this way about you, but I can't imagine any other way.
Yeah.
I can't imagine living differently.
It's you know, I always tell people, it takes a certain amount of strength to get up every day and report to a job that you hate, but you know you have to get things done, so you go anyway. So that takes a great amount of strength. Trust me, I know. My whole life I was doing it because I never really liked any job that I had. But I always tell people, you have to save some time for yourself. Where if you give the job 40 hours, find 5 hours out of the week, 6 hours out of the week, 7 hours out of the week for yourself and something that you always wanted to do. You know what I mean? I don't care if it's paint, draw, whatever it is that you wanted to do. If you can give a job 40, 50, 60 hours sometimes, you have to save a couple for yourself. Otherwise, you know, most of us get into this cycle where we only live for Saturday and Sunday. And not even really Sunday, because Sunday used to be a stressful day for me, because guess what? I have to mentally get prepared for what I have to deal with Monday. So Sunday don't even count. So it's a thing where you look at it, 30, 31 days out of the month, and you're only living for 8. That's crazy. So
it is. And you know what? I don't think people really look at it like that, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't, I want to, because I can, we could have, we do a whole show.
Whole show on that.
just on that. And I really, you know, I really want to delve into your writing and your writing process. Now, you sent me the Higher Learning Curve.
Yes.
Which is beautifully written, by the way, but to be honest with you, I have not finished it. I'm on the part where things are starting to hit heat up between Victoria.
Yeah.
Yes, Priscilla.
Yeah.
Really? You gotta look at me because I'm writing while I'm doing this and I'm reading it, right. And I'm like, oh, I was so mad at you the other night because, like, I have a writer, a word count goal that I have to meet every night to put out these books in a frenzy like I've been doing, and.
Right.
I did not meet my goal because I was so into your book, and I was really, really getting pissed off.
I'm sorry, not sorry.
Right?
I'm sorry, not sorry.
I can't do this. I got to block off some time to do this. That's not eating into my own writing. So you got to forgive me. I'm just going to read the synopsis, and then I don't really want to talk about the book.
Okay.
That's really not what this show is about. I want to talk about the writing decisions that you made with this book.
Okay.
So I'm going to read the synopsis so everybody can hear what I'm actually talking about. Anybody who knows you, they already know about the book because your marketing has been on point. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
But the higher learning curve. Marlon and Victoria are two young college students who are both trying to decide what they want to do with the rest of their lives while also trying to figure out what they're doing with each other. What started out as a meaningless summertime fling has become something much more complicated and confusing to them both. Enter Priscilla Anthony, Marlon's world arts professor, who offers the young lovers a ride to rescue them from a storm one afternoon after class. Actually, where I'm at.
Okay.
The rainy evening they spend together becomes the beginning of a sensual entanglement that develop into something none of them expected. The interactions that follow take on a strangely sensual and erotic dynamic with resounding ripple effects throughout all of their lives. Oh, my God, you're just such a poet. Like,
thank you.
How long did it take you to write that? How long did it take you to write that?
I hate writing synopsises. Like, that's the worst part of the process for me. Because, you know, as the author, you have so much that you want to say, but, you know, you have to keep it concise. It probably took me an afternoon. It took me an afternoon. I had to write and rewrite and write and rewrite. But I wrote it. I had to put the book out. So it kind of, you know, I forced myself to do it. It usually takes me a couple of days to get it right, but I forced myself. It took me about an afternoon to get that the way I wanted it. So, yeah.
It was it's so succinct, and it does tell the story without giving any of the story away. Like, kudos to you for doing that. I think it's the hardest part for every writer. Like, it's other writers, like the copy editors and the journalists that can do this easy. But actual novelists and authors and stuff
there's times when I wish I could just hand it off to somebody else. Like, look, read it, summarize this for me, and get back to me.
Yeah. Make it good, please. Make it hot. Make everybody want to buy this. And then get it back to me for more. I feel you. I've been there. Now, what I have questions about the higher learning curve is where did this plot come from?
I had a professor when I need to go back and get my degree, but I had done two semesters in City College in Harlem, and I had a world arts professor that was so sexy. Like, I still remember her, right? So it's not based on anything factual, but that lady, definitely the inspiration for Priscilla Anthony. the book itself, I've written a lot of love scenes in my books, and I've written short erotic stories for anthologies, but I wanted to really see if I could write an erotic novel, but also still tell the type of story that my readers are used to. So that's what I really wanted to, you know, that's what I really wanted to try and see if, you know, readers who are fans of erotica would really dig the story. So that's what goal when I wrote that book.
My boy, Tamsel. I hope I'm saying your name right, Tam. I'm saying it how I see it, but, you know, I'm not the best. but he's in the chat room. He says this is an excellent interview, and he called your professor the muse. And I just wanted to let you know that people are tuning in and they're really feeling it.
Thank you.
He says thank you.
Because Sham, I wanna real quick, I wanna shout out Sham. Shamso, because I met him in another book club, another book group when I first started up doing this, you know, thinking about doing it full time. And his erotic poetry and his writing kind of gave me the guts to be like, oh, I could write that. You know what I mean? So I got to salute him. I got to salute him because I was like, I could write that? And he's not going to get mad at me? Oh, all right.
Sham, he corrected me on your name. so gentlemanlike, too. My boy Sham. Sham Phil, I got it. I'll never make a mistake again. your such a dynamic writer, like the high learning, you know, I read Wayne. I only read two of your works, you know.
Right.
I try to stay away from reading anything in any kind of way close to the genre I'm writing at the time.
Yeah.
I still read while I write, but I try to stay away from similar things.
Right, you'll read something different. Like if you're writing urban, you'll read like sci-fi or fantasy. I'll do the same thing. Yeah.
So, but just those, but the juxtaposition between those two books, your writing is dynamic. And I want to say kudos to that, because a lot of authors I see, they stay with work. You know
right.
what I'm saying? They write themselves into a box, and
right.
they're so afraid to, you know what I'm saying, to go off
right.
the beaten path.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to be a problem with you, with any of your works. If I just read the synopsis, you gave me a list of your books, but even just from the titles, you know, Open Spaces, Sometimes Brooklyn, Mostly Mars, I love that title. Like, that title is everything. I love the cover. And like,
you.
You know, I know I feel such like a fangirl, but I'm just in love with the craft and the writers, and I just wish we become more supportive to each other, because I think we
can
go further if we're more supportive.
Absolutely, absolutely, because sometimes what will happen is, to a certain extent, where, you know, we're all caught up, especially, you know, in the business side of it, and the writing, and I'll tell you the truth, if I could just write, I would be happy. The business side trains me. It's exhausting, right?
Yeah.
But I totally relate to what you said earlier, because it made me, for a little while, I lost a little bit of my juice because of it, you know? But I think, I agree with you. Like, there's times that we get, look, I don't expect every author can't, you know, we have 3,000 author friends. They're not all going to buy our books. We can't keep up with everybody. But there's little things where, you know, if you check out another author's book and you enjoyed it, share it with your readers. You listen, check this reader out. You know what I mean? If every time you do that, they pick up an extra reader, that one reader could turn into five. That five readers that they pick up could turn into 25, and so on and so forth. So,
absolutely, especially on social media, where we're such a small portion of the market share. If you see someone hustling, if you see them putting up post book link after book link after book link after the share it, it really costs you nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
Nothing at all.
It really does.
Repost it is nothing. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you have to flood your wall, but I think, you know, and, you know, at certain times, you could focus on another writer that you respect and you enjoy their work, and you can say, listen, check this person out. I used to do things where, like when I'm out pushing books, I tell authors all the time, listen, if you want, send me your marketing material. Like if you have flyers, if you have bookmarks, send them to me. When I'm out pushing books, I will put one of your bookmarks in every book that I sell. You know what I mean? I'm not even going to, you know, I could do the lazy thing and just go out and just hand them out to people. But no, if I get somebody to actually support, that's a reader, and they go ahead and they buy a copy of my book, I'll be like, look, check this author out too, or I'll hand them your material also.
Well, that's love. We need to all adopt that, you know what I'm saying, that into our daily routines and our daily hustle, just sharing that love. And I tell you, you get more from the sharing of the love than you do from the trying to grab all the pie that you could get.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
At the end of the day, also, you know, it's not, if you get, you could get lost. And the business side of it is also dangerous because you could lose yourself in it and you could kind of lose your soul. And what I mean is, at the end, you write because you're passionate about it. You love sharing your stories. You love sharing your words. You love sharing your thoughts. Don't ever lose that, right? And that's part of you just being a human being. You know what I mean? You can't just become this machine where I gotta sell these books, I gotta make this money. You lose your soul that way.
You're looking at the bottom line, and you're looking like, I had the horrible thing of just checking my stats every day, and, you know what I'm saying, seeing what I could do. No, I'm on to that. Once I finish my book, I'm on to the next book, because I don't want to go back to that space where I'm searching for words. I've never had to search for words in my life. And when I got so tied up in the business end of it, I was searching for words. But I want to ask you another question, and I'm so sorry that my fangirl keeps taking this way.
No problem.
To be in past. But what is your writing day like? Like, how much do you have weekly goals, word count goals? What? Give us a little inside view of your day.
Okay. Well, for me, I mostly write at night because I'll go out in the day and push books, and then, you know, I'll get home, and it's time to, you know, cook dinner and do what I have to do with the kids. But nighttime, and I've always been a night person. It's quiet. Everybody's asleep. So I don't sleep much. That's the only drawback. Like, I don't sleep much. You know, I'll go to bed at 4 and then have to be up at 6:30 and start doing what I got to do to get the kids out the house and get ready to start my day. But I write. I'm mostly writing nights. And then in terms of word count and goals, I don't set word count goals anymore because it would stress me out if I didn't hit them or I would force it. What I try to do is I set points in my mind. Like, I'll say, okay, tomorrow I want to at least finish with this scene and be into this one. So that's the kind of goals I set in terms of my progress. But I don't, and I write by hand, so I can't really count words. So what I estimate how many handwritten page front and back is, but what I try to do is I try to set goals in terms of the plot. I want to finish with this scene and be at this point in the story by tomorrow or so on and so forth. But that's about it. And pretty much I just wing it. I freestyle it from there.
Okay, sad to say that our show is almost coming to an end, and I gotta get you back on. So, like, because we didn't go as deep as I wanted to.
To
go
anytime.
But before
anytime.
The show ends, please give everybody your contact information, how they can reach you, and what's new.
Okay. You can reach me on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, one word, Facebook, author Keith Perrine Williams, Amazon, all my books on Amazon. You know, just look up author Keith Perrine Williams and you'll find me. And my blog, where I post a lot of samples of things that I'm working on, things that I've written, is also remapthedark.blogspot.com. So that's where you
go. Okay, with that, we got to go. I hope y'all got all of it. I will share that info on my page. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and thank you, Keith.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.